waving the flag of freedom for people, not corporations. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Oh, yes, the China Grove. And boy, what an interesting couple of days I've had with the emails and the conversations back and forth about our conversation while we were at the Pennsylvania AFL-CIO convention there in Pittsburgh on the China issue and the subsidies that the Chinese government give to these mercantilist industries and, of course, the currency manipulation. A lot of back and forth, which is why we've asked our good friend Dave Johnson from the Campaign for America's Future to come talk to us a little bit. Dave, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thanks for having me on, Rick.
So, you know, here's the bottom line. I talked to Ike the other day at the convention, and he said, look, you know, we got a lot of problems. We need to remake manufacturing here in the U.S. We need to promote American manufacturing. We need to do all these things. And here's part of the reason why we're having problems. And he threw out two things. He threw out the fact that the Chinese are cheating on currency, and they're heavily, heavily subsidizing individual industries targeted to be taken from us. And I got a bunch of response back and forth saying, well, you know, what about the wages? And I go, you know, that's part of it, but it's all part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Here's something, you know, currency is a complicated thing. You know, it takes some, to understand it, it's one of those kinds of obscure things that most people don't deal with in their daily lives. But here's a simple way to understand how big a deal this currency problem is that Chinese goods, because of the currency manipulation, cost as much as 30 to 40% less than they would without the currency manipulation. So that means, let's say you're in, let's pick a country, Slovakistan, okay? And you want to buy something on the market in the world, you're going to have a train built, or who knows, you know. And you go looking around, and let's say the U.S. is making one, and China's making one, and you look at it, and the one from China costs 30% less. Before anything else is factored into this, of course you're going to want to buy the Chinese one. So here's how they do it. Currency manipulation involves going on the market out there and making your money worth less than somebody else's money.
And why would you want to do that?
Because if you can do that, then you get that bump, the currency exchange rate means that things made in your country cost less before you factor in anything else, including wages, other kind of trade cheating, whatever.
Right, but then buying stuff from anywhere else is that much more expensive, right?
Well, they don't. That's the thing. Okay, let's start with how they do it. Is they go out and every time U.S. dollars are offered out there on the market, they buy them up. Because they have this huge trade surplus, so they have all this money to do something with, they buy up our currency. Now, that supply and demand on the market makes our price higher, because if you want dollars, you got to buy them on the open market, and China's already buying up everything they can. So the dollar value goes up. People here talk about, oh, it's good, we have a strong dollar. Well, yeah, we have a strong dollar, and what that means is that things made in China cost a bunch less than things made here. Now, that it's good for some people, because if you already have a ton of money, you know, Wall Street, namely, etc., then you can buy stuff in China cheaper. It costs you less to buy stuff. But if you make stuff and you want to sell it out there, then you're in trouble right out the door before you even account for wages, anything else. You've got that as much as 30 or 40% gap in what things cost out there in the world markets. So that's how they're manipulating the currency. And people say, well, all right, but after a while they bought up all these dollars, what are they going to do? Well, then they can come back and buy our companies.
Which is what they do in mass. And we've heard so many stories. And in fact, when I talked with Ike, who is the steelworkers liaison to the Alliance for American Manufacturing, he gave me a book on all of the things our military needs and the products and the things that we used to make here in the U.S. for the military that have been outsourced. And I shouldn't even say outsourced. It should be said, you know, crated up and shipped out more than outsourced, because these Chinese companies came in, like the magnets that make these smart bombs, you know, nowhere to go. That company was the only company that made them, crated up and shipped overseas and recreated in China.
Yeah, and almost all electronics now, you can't make them here. I was working with a company several years ago, and we were making something that now they sell as the iPad. You know, we had a predecessor, and we couldn't get off the ground. We could not find a U.S. manufacturer to make that. It had to be made in China.
So let me stop you there. It had to be made in China. What do you say to the argument that it's just because of the wage structure? It's because the Chinese workers are going to work for 50 cents an hour, as an American worker is going to want, especially in that kind of an industry, going to want $18, $20, $25 an hour.
Well, they're not just going to work for 50 cents an hour. They're going to live in a dorm, and they're going to be rousted out of bed at midnight if they need to make an extra batch of stuff, okay? But that's a factor. There's a lot of factors. That's a factor. Here's one way that's a factor, by the way, is they're not a democracy, so they can make them live in dorms and roust them out of bed in the middle of the night because they don't have any kinds of protections.
Right.
And there's a lot of things that we could do about that with trade agreements, but instead we take advantage of that sort of stuff. The people who make the trade agreements, the people who buy companies, the people who have a lot of cash, their interests are like the opposite of American manufacturers and you and me and worker protections in the environment. Their interest is they want to do business with a country that manipulates their currency like that because they get stuff cheaper, the dollar's strong, so they have a lot of dollars, so they're selling dollars, okay? You and I, we need to get a mortgage. What we're doing is we're renting dollars, and it costs a lot more. So you see how this works.
Yeah.
Or you don't. It's a complicated thing to understand.
It's very complicated. And, you know, the thing that it's easy to say it's just the wages, and the wages are a part of it, but also the currency manipulation, a part of it. And when you bring this up, currency manipulation is not something new. I mean, you go back, and this has been something going on for years. And I remember I remember Ronald Reagan during his tenure as president, who wanted a strong dollar, wanted a high dollar policy, which caused a major recession in this country because it made manufacturers leave.
High dollar is really good if you already have a lot of dollars. That makes your dollars higher. But if you aren't someone who has a lot of dollars, you're on the other end of that. Same thing as inflation, by the way. Everybody talks about, oh, we're so scared of inflation. Well, inflation hurts people with a lot of money.
Right.
It helps people who don't have a lot of money. So don't be afraid of inflation is another one.
As a debtor, I'm not afraid of inflation.
No,
as a billionaire, I would be, you know, wet in my pants.
Yeah, exactly. As a debtor, it means that if it inflates your mortgage, all of a sudden you're paying, let's say your mortgage is a car a year, okay? Well, all of a sudden your mortgage is half a car a year, and then it's a quarter a car a year. If you translate what a car costs in dollars now, if you have inflation, then it's a half a car next year and a quarter of a car the year after that you owe on your mortgage. That's one way to think about it, okay? Inflation's great for people who don't have a lot of money.
Right.
How come we're all scared that there's going to be inflation? We want inflation if we don't have a lot of money. Okay, so back to the equilibrium of trade and balance. So you do these trade deals. It's obvious that American manufacturers and unions and environmentalists and people who care about people in America are not the ones making these deals, because the deal, even now, this new trade deal that's coming up called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, doesn't have anything in it about currency manipulation, for example. It's a deal that locks in that China can do that, you know, for example, if China enters that agreement. But you know, it doesn't address currency manipulation. How can you have a trade deal that doesn't address when a country does things like that? Another thing China does, you want to open a plant, they'll give you free electricity. They'll build the plant. They'll give you the land. They want that manufacturing in China. They know that that's the future for them. You know, they're going to be really strong economic power in the future. And those who are setting that up here, they're really strong now. They want, then they get the money out of doing it now. They don't care about the future of the United States. Okay?
Right. Well, what do you say on that point that we do the same thing? You look at the Volkswagen plant in Tennessee, that the taxpayers in one form or another gave Volkswagen $1 billion to build that plant.
The the people who did that, okay? Look who elects the people who did that, okay? The whole fight over keeping a union out and things like that. Look who backs them. Look who backs the Republican Party, for example, okay? You're not talking about the regular working people.
Right.
You know, because you would have a union if you're talking about the regular working people, and you wouldn't be blocking a union if you want regular people to make more money. People who own businesses don't want regular people to make more money. They'll take them for free, you know.
I get that. But you know, the thing is there's the statement out there that, you know, the Chinese are subsidizing their industries, and you could easily point back to us and say that we're doing the same thing. Is there a difference between what we're doing with our companies and our agribusiness and what the Chinese are doing with auto parts or rolled steel or steel tubing or tires or any of the other things?
Not a lot, actually. It's interesting you name agriculture. That's an area now controlled by the giant companies. NAFTA, we wiped out northern Mexico's agricultural industry with our subsidized corn, et cetera, and that's what caused all those people to have to come north to try to find jobs.
Right.
So, yeah, it's the problem with the trade deals. One of them, of course, yeah, currency is big, and we can't get the Congress or the administration to do something about it because the people that it helps are currently in control of the political system.
Right.
But the transparency isn't there in these agreements, so we don't even know what's coming down the pike. And then when it hits us, we're hit with these massive PR campaigns and lobbying campaigns to push it through Congress, so we have very little ability sometimes to do something about it. We've got to be aware of it's a little more complex than we're used to, and the people with a lot of money run all of these campaign ads when they come up for election and stuff, convincing us to be mad at the people to either not vote or be mad at the people we ought to be voting for. So now I'm flummoxed.
No, I mean, for me,
you got me depressed.
No, I mean, the reality is there is some similarity in my view.
There is some similarity, but look at who it helps. The giant agricultural companies benefit from this. Regular American working farmers don't. Another example, okay?
No, I mean, for me, the difference is there are similarities, but the difference is that they seem to have the Chinese have a very targeted plan. When they go after an industry, they, like you said, they get free power, they get free land, they fund the whole thing for as long as it takes to monopolize that industry. And auto parts, you look at the auto parts industry the last 10 years, there are almost no more auto parts being made in the U.S. because you've got this Chinese government plan of controlling those industries.
Right.
We don't do that.
Now, they're trade cheating and such, but I'm going to point something out. They're being smart
for
the long-term benefit of their country as a country. We're talking about the giant ag companies benefiting. The country doesn't benefit from these giant ag companies having subsidized corn, et cetera, okay?
Right.
They do. So we don't have a national plan to fight back, and we're kind of prohibited by ideology from having a national plan. Every time we try to say, look, we need to get, like, let's fight for the solar industry, and look what happened with that. Or, you know, let's fight for different industries, and then we get barrages of propaganda from people who make a lot of money because our system is no longer set up to protect democracy from having a voice, okay? It's so skewed towards those who have a whole lot of money, and it's getting worse. So that's what's happening here. Is essentially, I mean, you hear it and you've heard it, we're getting sold out. We're literally, when they sell a factory, they make a ton of money. They move the stuff to China, you know, they make a ton of money, but what happens to our ability to make a living? See, China's doing it on a national basis. They're looking at their long-term ability for their country to earn a living. We don't do that. We're letting individuals make a lot of money by literally selling out the rest of us having an ability to make a living in the future.
Yeah, and with the belief that maybe someday we could be that guy who makes the killing, even if the majority of folks can't make a living. Let me get your opinion on something else before I let you go. Kathleen Sebelius stepped down, going to be resigning. The woman who was the head of the Walmart Foundation, head of one of the programs of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, head of the OMB, Department of Office and Budget Management. She's going to, evidently, this Sylvia Billerwell is going to be the head person. I'm curious your thoughts.
You know, I don't know enough about her. I will say that the Bill Gates Foundation and the Walmart Foundation are foundations, and they're philanthropic. And to run one of those or be on the board, you have to be a fairly good expert in things like healthcare and such. So it might be a good choice. It might not. I can't say on that. I have to say that ultimate responsibility for the rollout of the healthcare, it ended up great. You know, the healthcare thing, they got more people signed up than they ever expected. And the main thing holding healthcare back is all of these Republican states that wouldn't implement Medicaid and wouldn't implement ways to make it easy for people to sign up for insurance. But the rollout of it, everybody's got to agree it was flubbed,
yeah,
you know, that they
absolutely
were not keeping their eye on the ball and stuff. And that was her responsibility and her boss's responsibility. And so, you know, she's rightly going to be tarred with that because somebody didn't have their eye on the ball when that website opened up. That should have been taken care of a long time before that happened.
Yeah.
I can't say anything about the woman coming in because, you know, I don't know enough about her, and I'm not ready to associate the names Bill Gates Foundation and Walmart Foundation with necessarily being Bill Gates or Walmart's interests.
Yeah, it gives me pause, makes me think. That's all. And I was curious your thought.
Yeah, me too.
Dave Johnson, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me on, Rick.
All righty. Dave Johnson, Campaign for America's Future, ourfuture.org, the website. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. For Working People, come to talk.
Don't know much biology. Don't know much about a science book. Don't know much about the French I took. But I do know that I need you. And if you fall for all the crap I spew, what a wonderful world this would be.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.